A little bit in Matthew chapter 5, shall we? Matthew chapter 5 and beginning with verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, this is on the mount where he preached the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. Psalms 23, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. I like to preach about holiness in the Beatitudes. Amen. I mean holiness in Psalms 23. Holiness in the 23rd Psalm. Boy, this is verses that everybody reads. This is scriptures that everybody's kids memorizes. This is scriptures that the nominals quote. Amen, Brother Jay. Amen. Nominal, name only. Amen. Yeah, I like that. Praise God. They all quote these scriptures. Praise God. Amen. Holiness in the Beatitudes. Glory to God. Amen. I had a friend of mine that took a church here in Hamilton several years ago, and he preached a lot on Psalms on the radio. Amen. In fact, almost every day he preached on the Psalm on the radio. Amen. And he got to the 23rd Psalm, and he was taking it a verse at a time. Amen. And I was listening with abated breath when he got to the third verse of the 23rd chapter. Amen. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Well, he had held revivals in all of our churches across the country, and his ministry was very adequate for an evangelist. And I really wondered what he would do with this. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Because I saw a chance to find out which direction he was going to take. Because, boy, when a preacher comes to that, if he wants to, as Brother Don Rich says, he can turn on and preach a little holiness. Praise God. And did you know what? When he got to that verse, and he leadeth me in paths of righteousness, he didn't even give the definition of righteousness. You talk about skirting a situation and talking all the way around a verse and saying nothing at the same time. Amen. He did the best job I ever saw of saying nothing about righteousness. Amen. And I found out that he decided already at this early place in his ministry in Hamilton, amen, that he couldn't lick them, join them. And so he skirted the issue. He didn't feel like his constituency could stand a message on righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what I'd have done if I was a preaching the 23rd Psalm. Amen. I'd have cut loose and preached a little of it. I'd at least gave them a definition of what righteousness was, amen, a state of being and doing right. Hallelujah. And I'd have preached a little while on doing that which is right. Amen. And I'd have preached a little while, glory to God, on doing what the Word of God says, because that's the only way we know. That's the only criteria we know of what's right. Praise God. But he skirted the issue, as preachers have down through the ages who didn't desire, amen, to preach much in the way of righteousness. I was talking to my Baptist friend, Pastor Moody, amen, in Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. As a matter of fact, we were standing in the Brother Willard M. Jones, we called him Dode for short, his body shop. And Pastor Moody was having some work done on his car, and we began to talk about righteousness. We began to talk about holiness. We began to talk about how people were living and the way they was dressing, the ungodly. And he agreed with everything that I said and went right along with it. But then he said, if you preach it to the people, they'll hate you. He might have said it like this, best I remember. But you can't preach it. If you do, folks will hate you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you. Amen. I tell you what, if I had a church full of folks that you couldn't preach a little righteousness on a Wednesday night, amen, at least enough to say, amen, that you preach righteousness and the word would get out to kind of flavor your reputation in the minds of men, amen, I wouldn't think I had much of a prayer meeting crowd with you. Amen. Glory to God. Ah, yes. Amen. Frank Borum, in his dream, he was reading the Beatitudes, and he became sleepy, and his eyes suddenly lowered, amen, and suddenly he found himself at a city that had 8 gates. This city was called the City of Happiness, amen, and people were entering in all those gates, amen. And he decided that he would like to enter all those gates. And he are one of those gates and get inside the City of Happiness. He found many just like him, amen, that walked up to the gate where it said, blessed are the poor in spirit. But even though he would like to be humble, even though he would like to be poor in spirit, he felt like that he had fallen so far short of it that he couldn't enter in that gate. And so he went to another gate. And he said, blessed are they that mourn at this gate. Amen. And that gate would be another entry to the beautiful city of blessedness. Incidentally, the word blessed here, as is translated in the Amplified New Testament, means very, very happy. The Amplified Testament translated very, very happy and to be envied. Praise God. Ah, and Dr. Borum found himself traversing the city, going from gate to gate, trying to find one that he might be able to enter. He noticed that some of the gates were crowded and some were not. He noticed that there was one particularly wide gate that many people went in at in order to get inside the City of Happiness. Incidentally, isn't that where we would like to live, in the City of Blessedness? Wouldn't we like to traverse that city and find our grand entry into the City of Happiness? The old song says, will your key to happiness fit the gates of heaven? When the final call goes out, will you be in? God gave his Son to give us heaven's treasure. Will your key to happiness let you in? Amen. There's a key to happiness. Every one of us can find a gate that somebody, some of us, all of us can find grand entry, a blessed invitation, received with open arms into this coveted city of happiness. After all, as men work and strive through the week and through their lifetime, isn't it for the purpose of achieving happiness? Yes, amen, even into old age, we work to lay aside a little nest egg so that perhaps if we make it to old age, we can rest and be happy. But too many times, people are discontent in old age, the same as young. Sometimes even more discontent. Amen. Old age didn't bring happiness. Amen. My father didn't find happiness in his old age. I tried to point him to it. I had him in the altar. I had him praying the sinner's prayer in Poplar Bluff Hospital. We had him in the altar here maybe a couple of times. Amen. He told me right here, right there. He said, son, I can't get hold of God. Amen. I believe, Randy, that where there's life, there's hope. I believe that there is a chance for every man if he'll cry out to God. I believe there's a gate that someone can find in this eight-sided city of happiness that everybody can enter. Amen. He left us a note and walked to the end of the driveway on a Sunday morning at about 8 o'clock. And put his deer rifle to his neck, cocked, and reached down and pulled the trigger. Amen. His key to happiness left unfound. Amen. Oh, so close to the kingdom. Just one little step from the gates of peace, but a million miles from God. Because failed to use the key. Amen. Mr. Borum said he went to the other gate. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And he said, I like to be humble, but I don't feel that I qualify. I don't feel that I'm humble enough. Amen. I feel like I need to grow, even in this grace of humility. No, I can't bend enough to enter through. Blessed are the meek. My eyes are not wet with tears enough to qualify for the gate that says, blessed are they that mourn. And so he skirts the city. He finds this gate that says, verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Amen. And he said, I'd like to have mercy, but there's too many times, amen, that my actions betray the thought of my heart. Amen. And there's some people that I haven't quite made it about as far as mercy's concerned. Amen. And so undeserving, I pass by the gate of blessed are the merciful. Then I come to a gate that says, blessed are the pure in heart. And oh, how I've battled with purity of heart. And how I've struggled with purity of heart. And too many times, the thoughts that seem to fly by like birds seem like sins as they're magnified by the adversary. And I don't feel that I can qualify to enter that gate that says, blessed are the pure in heart. I like to be poor in spirit. I like to mourn better. I like to be more humble so that I may enter through the meek gate. I like to be merciful, but seem like I come so short. I would like to be pure in heart, but it seems like I come so short. And then he went to the gate that says, peacemakers Blessed are the peacemakers. And I thought about the things that I've left undone. I thought about the things I could have done. I thought about the things that I should not have said, but I went ahead and said them anyway. And I didn't feel that I could qualify to enter through the gate to happiness, the blessed realm of happiness that everyone seeks. The rich man seeks. The poor man seeks. The beggar seeks. The doctor seeks. The lawyer seeks. Amen. The woodcutter seeks. The coal miner seeks. Everybody alike. They march in a great throng, and they're trying to find the mystical door to entry to the city of happiness. Amen. And so they've come to religion now. The drunkard finds his bottle won't satisfy. The addict finds that drugs does not satisfy, but rather make his problems worse. Amen. And the man whose heart is filled with lust finds that that does not satisfy. And he still finds his life empty and void and vain and more guilty. And so they go to old time religion, and they seek gate by gate for entry into the city of happiness. Amen. Oh, and we go to that gate called blessed are they which are persecuted. And with all that is within us, we would like to be able to stand with a backbone like a saw log that Sam Jones preached about. Amen. But my, it seems that we don't welcome that gate of persecuted for righteousness' sake. Amen. Martyrdom is not quite our bag, if you will. We sing the praises of those that shed rivers of blood to give us a Bible, but somehow I can't find it within me to give my head like Paul did. Amen. To shed my blood. Amen. Little Donnie Head got up and testified one night in old Midway Church. Amen. I went to school with Donnie Head when he was a little tyke. Amen. And then now here's Donnie Head. He's in my church, in Midway Pentecostal Church in Thayer, Missouri. And of all things, he got saved. He's up testifying. And he said, I cut my hand the other day. And he said, the blood just poured. And he said, I thought, Jesus, you shed your blood for me, and I'll shed some of my blood for you. But little Donnie was mistaken. Amen. He wasn't shedding his blood for Jesus. He was shedding his blood because he carelessly cut his hand. Amen. There's a difference in cutting your finger with your pocket knife and being persecuted for righteousness' sake, incidentally. Amen. There's a difference in stomping your toe and being persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's a difference in having a couple of flats on the way to church and just getting plumb discouraged about it and wondering if it's God's will for you to go to church. There's a difference in having two flats on the way to church. You say, well, because what do you think it means? I had two flats on the way to church. I think it means you need a set of tires. At least two, anyhow. Amen. And that's all it means. Amen. Tires will wear out, and you will drive over nails. Amen. And you do have to patch the tubes if you got tubes. Amen. And once in a while, they will go flat. Amen. But we try to attach some mystical meaning to every discouraging thing that happens to us in life. Amen. Sister Collins phoned me as I left the church at Middletown and gone on an evangelistic field. My first revival was for Brother Havis Crawford in Norman, Oklahoma. Amen. Pretty close. Moore is between Norman and Oklahoma City. you pass right by and you see Brother Moore's name on the water tower. He said, I got my name on the water tower. Glory, pastor. Amen. But this was Norman. Brother Hayless was pastoring. Amen. And, God, I had cried till I couldn't see the road. You see, Sister Collins and I had never been apart. Rarely ever been apart. We went everywhere together. We were hardly ever seen. Us and our children was always there. No matter where we went across the country, Kim and Jeff, fussy and restless in that old hot sweaty car, no air conditioning. Those days when Kim and Jeff were so little, amen, and oh boy, they'd get fussy, and old Pap would get sharp, amen, and he would make his threats. Amen. We'd never been apart. And now, amen, they were in school. Now, we would separate. Every revival, just about, I would go alone. And hurry back home when I could to my little family on Elk Creek Road. Amen. Praise God. Brother J.C. helped us quite a bit to build that house. Amen. We hauled the roofing in his truck. Things have changed since I built that house on Elk Creek Road. Amen. Prices have changed too. I bought the whole roof down here seconds at Miami Carey. Amen. For $58. A whole roof. Amen. Put it on there. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. I'd have to leave our new house and our new fireplace and our new fireside. And I would leave my wife, amen, to go hold revivals. Amen. Things happen. I tell my wife things fall apart every time I leave the house. Jeff got to running backwards down the hall and didn't notice the glass door when he got to it. He was running so fast backwards and hit the glass door backwards and broke it. And part of the glass fell across the front of his foot and severed that leader on the front of his foot and that vein, that artery. And they rushed him to the hospital. Amen. I wasn't there to stand by their side. Amen. And my wife started up the car. An old Falcon station wagon. I'd left her to drive. Amen. Got it in her own gear. And run it into the wall of the partition of the garage and knocked two holes with a bumper guard in the wall of the garage. She was trying to help people and do the best she could in my absence. So she went with Sister Lawson or somebody to the hospital to visit somebody. And back in out of the parking lot, she backed into somebody's car. I called up to get the word from home and to hear a cheerful voice on the other side. Amen. Because I was a long way from home in my first revival, 600 miles away. Amen. And a tearful voice, a blubbering voice on the other side. Now, Collins, don't you get mad at me. Said, I'm trying to be a father and a mother to these kids. And said, I banged two holes in the wall and Jeff cut his foot. And said, I backed out of the hospital parking lot and banged into somebody. And said, now old Brownie's got the mange. And she said, don't you talk. I couldn't wait till I got off the phone to tell Brother Havis. And he laughed his head off because he'd been through the same thing. And he told me about his wife and Mary Ellen, how that the pig got out of the pen that they was fattening for winter, and how that they worked and worked and chased that pig and finally got it back in the pen and patched the pig pen with pasteboard so that the pig couldn't get out. The pig didn't know it, but he could have just run straight through it. But he thought his road was blocked. He had been through it before. Amen. Oh, yes, we've gone through a little bit of loneliness, and boy, light cross, Brother J.C., but I don't know how much we can say about really being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Lord, I've borne a heavy load, and amen, I've stood some lies and some revile. Amen, I didn't find much blessedness in it, I'm guilty to say. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Tell truth about it. I don't remember one time that I've really got with it in this 12th verse. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. I've not done much shouting, I'll admit, while I was being persecuted. Amen. I haven't been able to look above the clouds and see, like I'd like to, the silver lining when I'm persecuted. Amen. When folks talk about me, I want to cry on somebody's shoulder. I want to tell one of my friends about it. Tell them what they said. Amen. And let them reassure me. But in most cases, I can't come up to this exceeding glad. I haven't quite made it there in most cases. I tried, I'd like to be exceeding glad and rejoice when people say all manner of evil against me falsely, like they persecuted the prophets. Amen. I'll tell you, it might be kind of a blue time for the Highway of Holiness if their pastor'd be hustled off to jail. Amen. I wonder if they do like they done for some pastors, all the saints would go to jail with him. Amen. Or they'd cause such a commotion in a prayer meeting on the jailhouse lawn and on the steps, he wouldn't stay there very long. Amen. Or if I'd be like old Brother Forster in Oklahoma City, amen, they put him in jail every night and fed him his meal, and he'd have a night's sleep, and amen, turn him out in the morning after breakfast and tell him not to preach anymore without a permit. He'd go right straight back out and preach on the streets until, amen, they'd arrest him again, usually by nightfall. And Brother Foster had a good thing going. Amen. He was getting free meals and a free bed to sleep in every night. He was called into court the same day L.D. Moore was. Amen. And the judge said, I'll give you your choice, brother. Amen. Said, either get out of town, quit preaching on the streets, or go to prison for 3 years. And he said, Judge, people of God asked him, said, have you got a lawyer? He said, better get you a lawyer. He said, yeah, I got a lawyer. He said, is he a good one? He said, yeah, he's the best. He was talking about Jesus, but none of his friends knew about it. So the judge laid down the verdict, said, get out of town, quit preaching on the streets, or go to jail for 3 years. He said, Judge, the Lord called me to preach on the streets and in the jails. And he said, I'll give you the choice where I preach for the next 3 years. Amen. I don't know if I would rejoice and be exceeding glad. I might be like Brother Max Links. Amen. Left his good job and left his good church and, amen, got thrown out of the Baptist church and, amen, quit his job making $50,000 a year in electronics and got thrown out of his teaching job at the university because he tried to teach the Bible, read the Bible every morning, and now he's a campus minister. He began to have ulcers. Amen. Finally went to the doctor. Doctor probed a little bit. Amen. They found out what was wrong. Brother Max told you right here behind this pulpit. He said, I just couldn't get used to that ride in that SWAT and that squad car. Amen. Every time they arrested me. it had an effect on my ulcers. It caused my ulcers. Amen. And he had to get the victory over it. Hey, it's tough to go through that gate. There's great happiness on the other side. Amen. But most of the time, us kids in school, when we face persecution, we tuck our head. We don't laugh and consider, amen, that we're better off. We're like Teddy Roosevelt's daughter. Amen. She came home crying because the kids laughed at her because her dresses were a little longer. Amen. She was going to school, public school, incognito. Nobody knew she was the president's daughter. And the kids was laughing at her. She came home crying. And Teddy told his daughter, said, "You tell those kids that you're the daughter of the President of the United States. And you're not following the style, you're setting them." Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes we're not very jubilant when it comes time to setting a style. I can remember when Johnny French came to play, or came to the outing the kids was having out here at the baseball court. Amen. Johnny sat on the sidelines. I said, "John, get out there and play. Get on our side, John." I said, "No." He said, "I can't play." I said, "I can't play tonight." "Why can't you play, John?" "Because," said, "I got these work boots on." I said, "I can't play in these work boots." He didn't have no recreation shoes to play in. Amen. He was just 20 years too late or too early. Amen. Nowadays, amen, if a girl ain't got a pair of old clubby work shoes, amen, I mean hook and eye combat boots to wear, amen, to church, she's not hardly in style. Amen. I mean, Johnny would have been light in style, amen, nowadays. But we're not too keen about setting a style. We're pretty keen about following them, but we're not too keen about setting them. Amen. I like to say, I appreciate you young folks. I appreciate you young girls that's got the courage not to cut your hair. I appreciate you mothers in Israel that's got the courage to not cut your hair in a day when in the beauty parlor there's all kinds of pressure. Why don't you cut that stuff off? I've even heard Pentecostal preacher's wife say, "She'll have headaches if she keeps that hair long like that." I've heard them say it. Man, I bit my tongue, amen, to keep from saying my piece. Amen. I'm telling you what, there's been times that I wasn't much of a peacemaker. Amen. I mean, when that preacher over on the west side read that scripture, amen, glory to God, left out part of it. I said, "He's from Arkansas. He ought to know better than that." I went to hear him because he's from Arkansas. Amen. Glory to God. And so I went up to him and I asked him, said, "What are you going to do with the rest of that verse?" "Oh," he said, "that belongs in the fourth verse." I said, "I thought I made that clear." I said, "What does it make any difference if you put it in the first verse or the fourth verse?" "Oh," it said, "it makes your salvation depend on works." He said, "You believe you're saved by works?" Amen. I knew what he wanted me to say, and so I said it. I said, "Yes." Amen. We're not saved by works when we get saved, but we're saved by works after we get saved. If you don't believe it, you just try to quit working. See how long you last. You just try to quit working for God and start working for the devil. See how long you last. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, the whole 8th chapter of Romans is killing out the flesh. Amen. But I mean, they would erase the whole rest of the chapter with the first two verses. Amen. He said, "Well, give me scripture and verse." I said, "Well, try the whole book of James for a starter." Amen. And of course, because I wasn't too good a peacemaker, He's never spoke to me since. Incidentally, he's dead now. He was at a convention preaching, walking across the street with his sandwich in his hand, going across the street to get a sandwich. Car run over him and kill him. I'd rather go preaching the whole Bible myself, wouldn't you? Amen. I'd rather die with a staff in my hand. I don't want to fiddle with none of it or cut none of it out or displace any of it. I want to take it just like it is. Amen. But sometimes I haven't been too good a peacemaker. Sometimes I haven't rejoiced and been exceedingly glad. So I need to find this gate that Dr. Boreham found that day in his dream that was wider than the rest. And even though the people that went in at this one would have liked to have qualified for the others, but felt like they couldn't, they felt like they could go through this one. It said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hallelujah. You may feel like today that you have fallen pitifully short, but still you'd like to measure up. You'd like to grow in grace till you could find grand entry in any or all of these gates. But tonight, amen, you believe in old time religion, amen, but you're not quite ready to have your head chopped off and be too glad about it. You're not quite ready to be whipped within an inch of your life and feel too glad about it. Sometimes mercy runs low, and sometimes peacemaking seems to have escaped you. You'd like to do better. I'll tell you tonight, there's a gate that you can enter. Hallelujah. And it says, "Blessed, very happy, to be envied are they which do hunger and thirst." Tell me tonight, do you hunger for it? Do you have a want to? Amen. Can you, with Larry Petrie's masterpiece, "I Feel Like," of a song that says, "I hunger for holiness"? I've never sang it myself, amen, because I don't feel like I could get it off the ground. Amen. But listen, folks, this is a gate that everybody that feels unworthy in church. You might have just been saved. You might have been living for God 50 years and can't qualify for all these gates. But you can go in at this one. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you really like to be holy? Would you really like to be righteous? Would you like to have holiness? Can you say, you see, righteousness and holiness means the same thing. And that's why the so-called nominal church and the neo-Pentecostals don't major on it. Amen. Because if you major too much on it, you're going to give your people a guilt trip. As Swindoll said the other day over the radio, much of the preaching that's done in many churches is designed to make people feel guilty. And let me correct you, Dr. Swindoll. Those churches that preach like that are scarce almost as hen's teeth. Amen. Amen. I mean, they ain't no such animal as a whole anymore. Pardon me, Brother Jay, I don't mean to take issue with you on the name out front, but a lot of those churches that wear the name holiness on the front, amen, if you could see them walk out the door, you'd think they're in their own church. Amen. At least we got hope, though, don't we? If we're looking for a place to go, we got hope. Amen. That maybe, just maybe, there's enough in the old-time doctrines of the church, in the creed of the church, that some young preacher will read the Bible like Andy Johnson did. Amen. Got to preaching on the radio the qualification for deacons. Amen. And amen. He wound up over here for some reason or other. Riding with me to holiness. He took to holiness preaching. Amen. And holiness like a duck takes to water. He fit in perfect. Amen. A lot of people at church, Brother Moore looked at him one day and told him, said, "You look like you came from Blanchard." Amen. Hallelujah. He fit right in. There wasn't any place that he couldn't fit right in. Amen. He was real honest, you know, when one of them out there was giving him the third degree. Asked if he believed in wearing rings. No, he said, I don't wear rings. And he said, "Do you wear a watch?" No, he said, "Don't wear a watch." He said, "Do you wear a necktie?" No, he said, "I just don't like to wear a necktie." And he said, "Tell the truth about it." Here's a boy with some shiny pins in his pocket. He said, "Tell the truth about it." He said, "I don't much believe in them pins you got in your pocket." Brother Moore said, "I'd like to have been there. I'd like to have been there." He knew who he was talking to. So I'd like to have been there. Amen. He took to it like a duck takes to water. Amen. He fit in everywhere. Suddenly he found himself with no limitations. Amen. He could go any place. Hallelujah. But here's a gate that all of us can enter. Blessed. Very, very happy. To the point of envy of others. Amen. Are they which do hunger for holiness. Hallelujah. Amen. He leadeth me in paths of, I'm not doing any damage to the King James Version, holiness. The old paths. The paths of righteousness. For what is holiness anyway? It's doing what God said to do. Amen. And loving it. I said loving it. Happy about it. Enjoying the blessings of the Lord. Victorious in it. Amen. If we truly hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. We'll make the grade on these others after a while. Stand with me. Let's come around the altar. And let's seek God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can have it.
But I could
it's
not
for you.
Pay the price.
And it's for me.
Could I make
you can find the key to happiness. Real joy. Real peace. Tonight. Come. Tarry before Jesus. Give him a chance to help you with that difficult gate. Maybe you'll find a more unlimited entry in the days to come.
Though it cost me grief and pain, I will find my life again. If I lose myself, I'll find the Lord in thee. Then one day while down in prayer, Jesus whispered, and find